And Jesus went up in the mountains to pray. And he said he went up there in the evening. And he watched them until the fourth watch. Now the Jews had four watches during the course of the night with 3-hour intervals. The first watch was from 6 in the evening till 9. The second was from 9 till 12. And the third was from 12 to 3. And the fourth watch was from 3 till 6 in the morning. Now Jesus, up in the mountains, watching the disciples out there rowing and trying to get to the other side, and the winds howling and the waves roaring and Satan trying to sink their boat, and Jesus sitting up there in the mountains watching them. I said he was sitting up there watching from 6 o'clock in the evening until the fourth watch. Now the fourth watch was from 3 to 6 the other morning. It could have been 5:45. It could have been 5. But the Lord was sitting up there in the mountains 9, 10, 11, or 12 hours watching the disciples out there in the middle of the ocean rowing and trying to get to the other side. Now, what do you think he was waiting for? What do you think he was waiting for? Oh, Lord. I can just see Jesus up there shaking his head in the mountains. My God. Here the devil's come again. Now let me see what they're going to do. Let me see what Peter and the rest of them will do. 6 o'clock come. 7 o'clock. 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock. Jesus sitting up there in the mountains peeking at them. Peeking down through the trees, watching them. Wonder if John will jump up. Didn't they learn the first time? Don't they remember the first time the devil tried to sink their boat? Don't they remember what I did? Don't they remember what I encouraged them to do? Wonder what's going to happen. And he sat there 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 5:45 during the fourth watch. Sometime during the fourth watch, he gets up and he said, "Oh Lord, here I go." And went walking across the waves to go over and get them. But what I'm saying to you is, what do you think the Lord was waiting for? See, he was waiting for his disciples to get up. To get up and say, "The Lord told me to go to the other side. Devil, I remember the last time you got me in that storm. I remember the last time you tried to sink my boat. I learned something then. You foul devil, watch me do as the master and stand up and say, 'Peace, be still, hallelujah to Jesus Christ,' and went on across to the other side." Can you say amen? Amen. Lord, have mercy. You've got to understand, if the devil is successful in one avenue of approach to you and he can sink your boat by coming down one road, let me tell you something, the next time, brother, he's going to try it again. And he'll try it again. How many know what I'm talking about? If he can knock you over with fear, bless God, watch out, because he'll keep putting that fear mess on you. He'll keep knocking you out of the picture with fear all the time. It's like a story I read in the papers yesterday, about a thief out here that robbed Cumberland Arms 3 different times in 2 weeks. And he said, well, the first time, he said, I went in through the back window. It was unlocked. And I just went in and stole everything they had. They said, how'd you get in the second time? He said, through the back window. And I went in and stole everything they had again. How'd you get in the third time? Through the back window. I mean, if you're a dummy, you know, and you don't take no precautions, if he comes in the back door, you understand what I'm saying? You should be smart enough to lock the back door up or something, nail it up or put a block there or something. God's people, sometimes I believe they're dummies when it comes to the devil. Brother, let me tell you something. If he comes down one avenue, you understand, and he sinks your boat or he knocks you out of the picture, bless God for the time being, but coming down one avenue, expect him. Expect him to come down that same avenue the next time around, and the next time around, and the next time around. Dear God in heaven, you've got to smarten up, hallelujah, to Jesus Christ. And understand that this is the way the devil will approach you. You understand? They should have stood up and said, devil, you'll never get me like this again. Oh, you foul devil, you think I'm a dummy? You think I'm a dummy? You're going to get me with that same old storm? No, sirree. Dear God, watch what I do. And stand up and rebuke that mess, dear God in heaven. And go on about your business. I'll guarantee you the devil would never try to sink their boat again. He said they caught on to it. Uh-oh, let's try something else. And they come down another avenue. You see what I'm talking about? Jesus trying to get his disciples to operate in some faith. Lord have mercy. Sitting up there on the mountain watching them. You know what Jesus is doing right now? He's watching you. He's watching his church. The Bible tells me he's sitting right at the right hand of the Father. Father said to him, son, sit here at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstools. Until the church rises up in this anointing and in this power, hallelujah, that's theirs all these hundreds of years. Until they rise up and wake up, bless God and put the devil where he belongs, under their feet. Put sickness and disease where it belongs, under their feet. Put oppressions where it belongs, under their feet. Bless God, get the devil under their feet. He says, when they put the enemy's son, when they put your enemies, he is the head, we are the body. The enemies of the body are the enemies of the head. He says, wait, son, until I, the Father says, put your enemies under your feet. He does it through the church. You say, my God, I've been in this predicament a long time. I've been fighting these waves. I've been fighting and carrying on. Lord, what's wrong? Oh, Lord, come by, come by. And he's sitting there shaking his head. Oh, let me see if they've learned anything. Let me see if they're going to get up and exercise just a little bit of faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Brother, he'll watch. Some people, I've heard people say, boy, the Lord came by just in the nick of time. Lord, have mercy. Let it look almost like the last heartbeat. Here come the Lord. And saved me. And got me. Oh, I was scared to death. Enemy had me shaking them. Yeah, but let me tell you something. Rejoice that the Lord came by and picked you up. But if you looked into the spirit and saw the spiritual picture, you wouldn't rejoice too much. Because the Lord had been sitting there for who knows how long, watching you, waiting for you to wake up and wise up and rise up and do something about it. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. You understand what I'm saying? All power is mine, Jesus says, in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore into the world. Make disciples out of all nations. Heal the sick, he said. Cast out devils. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Lord, have mercy. You're kings. We reign in this life as kings. We have a kingdom. The whole satanic organization and everything it's behind. Demon spirits are subject to the church of Jesus Christ. You understand? Sickness and disease is their subjects. Hallelujah. You've got to see this. Everything that Satan is behind becomes subjects to the church through Jesus Christ. And he's waiting. He's watching just as surely as he was watching his disciples. He's watching you, waiting for you to rise up in power, waiting for you to go into your home tonight and look at your little child that's tormented and vexed with devils and say, oh, you devils, you, in the name of Jesus, leave my little child. Now, he's waiting for you to lay hands on the sick. Go to your mother. Go to your father, your cousin. Someone's in the hospital and take authority over that mess. He's waiting. Lord, Lord, Lord. And when they saw the Lord, they cried out. And he said to them, don't be afraid.
And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, you notice, if it's you, wasn't quite sure. If that's you I'm seeing, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And the Lord said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And if you could have saw Jesus at that moment, you might have saw him applauding and clapping his hands. You might have saw a smile from ear to ear. You might have heard him say, finally, at last, at last, at last, I see some faith. At last, I see him exercising some faith. He might have even did a little few steps along the way, if you don't know. A little Holy Ghost shuffle or something. You know what I'm talking about. Woo! At last, this is what he's been trying to get him to do all the time. Step out in faith. Rebuke the storms. Feed the 5,000. Raise the dead. Walk on the water, dear God. Exercise some faith. And here Peter jumps out and he starts walking on the water. But it wasn't long before the rejoicing that the Lord was dying kind of stopped, because old Peter, when he saw the thunders, waves, and so forth, and he was afraid. And as soon as he became fearful, what do you think began to happen to him? He started to sink. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, if you don't think doubt isn't a killer, then you don't know nothing about doubt. Why did you doubt? Because when you start doubting, my friends, let me tell you something, you're going to start sinking. When you start becoming fearful, you're going to start sinking. And whether you know it or not, the devil is behind doubt. He's behind fear. You understand, we minister to an awful lot of people, hallelujah, that are bound with doubt, fear, skepticism, and so forth, and we see God set them free. Because, folks, you cannot move and the things of God, as long as doubt is there, as long as fears are there. The Lord says that you can ask, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you said will come to pass. It'll happen. See, the doubt is what killed it. The doubt is what's killing it in some of your lives. The doubt's what did it to Peter. And the Lord reached out and caught him and said, O thou of little faith. This is a second dimension of faith I want to talk about, a little faith. Now, Peter had just walked on the water. If that would have been me, I would have probably thought that, Lord have mercy, that should go down in the heavenly hall of fame if they got such a thing for faith exploits. Brother, that was no little bitty thing. You do understand that. Walking on the water, that's all right. Lord, have mercy. Sometimes we get excited and jump and shout and carry on when we get a headache healed. Or we see a short leg grow out. You understand? I mean, I just want you to think about this. Jesus called it a little faith. O thee of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You know why Jesus called it a little faith? Number one, a little faith at least will try. You understand what I'm saying? He talked to them before and said, you have no faith because you didn't even try. Now he's talking to the same disciples, and he told me, said, you have a little faith. Because at least you jumped out there and tried. You understand? You jumped out there and tried. See, a little faith will take you a little ways down the road.
but it won't take you through. Now you hear what I'm saying. Because a little faith will believe God. A little faith will believe God in such a way, and God responds to faith. Whether you live, God, you all know that. God will respond to faith. A little faith can get a miracle from God. A little faith can bring Jesus on the scene. A little faith will bring the angels down. A little faith will bring the miracle-working power of God into your life. A little faith will get you the miracle that you desire. But a little faith ain't going to keep it. A little faith won't take you through, because when the devil comes and contests that miracle that you've received from the Lord, that word that you've received, that revelation that you've received, whatever it is that you've received from God by exercising that little faith that you had, when the devil comes to contest it, a little faith buckles under. You understand? And the devil gets the upper hand. What caused Peter to buckle under? Things that he saw with the physical eyes. He saw the waves. Things that he heard with the physical. He heard the wind howling. Things that he felt. He felt the spray on his face. He felt all of this and the blowing. See, the devil works on the senses. A little faith produced a miracle for Peter. He walked on the water, but the little faith didn't keep him walking on the water. Can you say amen? The little faith buckled under when Satan once again began to zero in upon the physical senses, my friends. What you see, what you hear, what you feel, what you take. How many know what I'm talking about? Brother, the five physical senses don't come in play if you're going to believe God and go through. A little faith will start you out. And it'll get you, as they say down south, it'll get you down the road a piece. But don't take you all the way in. It's not going to take you all the way through. You've got to understand that. Jesus called it a little faith. Now I know every one of us here probably, at one time or another, we understand and can identify with the disciples. We've received from the Lord. We've had God move in our lives. We've received miracles. And we've been happy, rejoiced. But it wasn't long before the devil got the upper hand and robbed us. Hallelujah. Of that miracle. How many have ever experienced that? You know that you had something from God, and yet the devil robbed you. Now you may be one of those that are operating in just a little faith. You may be one of those that are not operating in any faith. One of those that just fill the church, and you can shout and you can praise God, and you can do all you want to on Sunday mornings and be known as a good Christian, good, solid, church-going, Bible-believing, God-fearing child of God. And let me tell you something, and not operate in 1 ounce of faith. That describes the vast majority of the organized church. They don't even try to believe God. Go to the meetings and watch what happens. See if the preachers are praying for the sick. See if they're trying to deliver the oppressed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then there are those that come along and they move in some faith. They get some things done. But see, that faith, Jesus calls it a little faith, that faith could not take them through. Because when the devil come against the physical senses, you know, when you come before God and we present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, like it says in Romans 12, verse 1, do you realize that the five physical senses you present to God to, right along with this outer man, this physical body, and when you're presenting your body as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable unto Him, that you're saying, in essence, Father, here is this physical body. My God, it's cleaned up. Lord, by your grace, I've got it under. The spirit man is controlling. I'm in charge. Lord, I got the sin out of my life. I've got this out of my life. I've got that out of my life.
And Father, your word is going to reign supreme in my life. I'm not going to use these physical senses and allow them to dictate to me, Lord. I'm not going to allow the physical senses to dictate to me when I know your word has spoken something to my heart. Dear God, I'm going to stand on the thing. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to go through. I don't care what I see with a physical eye. I don't care what I hear with a physical ear. I don't care what I feel. You've told me that I'm not supposed to look at the things that I see, but I'm supposed to look at the things that I don't see, because the things that I see are temporal, or they're subject to change, but the things I see with the eye of faith are eternal. Can somebody say amen? They'll never change. God have mercy on us. Lord have mercy. You got, see, we have to come to a place where we're going to believe God. Where we're going to step out. I heard somebody talk about, I want that walk on the water faith. Well, I'd rather have some other kind of faith. We're going to talk about the third dimension right now, faith. Let's turn to Matthew, the 8th chapter. And this is the kind of faith I want. Hallelujah. Amen. That little child back there said, all right, all right. Did you hear that little child? Bless you. Bless you, honey. Amen. That's Brother Moore's little child, I believe. Getting right in the, get involved. These little children get involved. Yes, sir. These little babies, sometimes they just tell you about it. Amen. I got Kathy's little daughter. She comes up to me, Kathy Lou's little daughter. I get the biggest kick out of that little child. It's so funny. Most people call me Brother Lou, right? She'll come up there and she'll say, how you doing, brother? That is so funny. I say, all right, sister, how are you? Lord have mercy. Calls me brother. Oh, Lord. Amen. Matthew. 8th chapter. Okay. Let's start reading with verse 5. And this is the third dimension of faith we're going to talk about. And I'll close with this. It said, when Jesus entered Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Now Jesus was used to people coming and saying, Lord, so-and-so sick, or Lord, come, else he die. You know his friends, Lord, come, the one that thou lovest is sick. Come, Lord, lay hands on him so that he won't die. That he was used to that. See, he was used to that kind of faith. Faith that was, you know, faith that were, that was exercised in his by his physical presence. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, people knowing that if he laid hands on them, they're going to be healed. People that know that if he called out a devil, it's got to come out. You know, if he's there and he calls out. But listen, Jesus got ready to go with this man and heal him. Jesus says, I'll come, I'll heal him. And the centurion, this Gentile, went on the outside the camp, said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, or truly, I'm saying to you, I have never found so great a faith, not in all of Israel. We talked about no faith. We talked about a little faith, and now we're going to talk a little bit about great faith. Great faith. The centurion had caught hold of something that the disciples and all of the followers or the believers in Christ had not caught hold of. The centurion had caught hold, and this come, brother, this is a revelation that the rest of them had not received up until this point. He says, Lord, he says, you don't have to come. He says, speak the word, he says, and my servant will be healed. And he went ahead and said, he said, I'm a soldier. He says, I have people under me. I have others, and I'll say to them, go here, and he has to go. Come here, come there. I'm a man in authority. I have physical subjects under me, and I speak to them. I order them around. Whatever they say, whatever I say, they have to do it. He says, Lord, this is the way I operate. He said, but I also see that you're a man like that too. He says, you're a man like that. I see that you have subjects. But Lord, the subjects that are in subjection to you, that have to obey you, I can't see them. I can't see evil spirits. But I couldn't see that spirit that had that man, that dumb spirit where the man couldn't talk. I couldn't see it. But I heard you say, that deaf and dumb spirit come out of the man. I couldn't see the deaf spirit. But when you called it out, the man heard. When you called out the dumb spirit, the man talked. When you called that spirit of epilepsy out of that little boy, and that thing threw him down in the water. When they picked him back up, it was gone. Lord, he says, I couldn't see it with a physical eye, but I do know that you rule over a kingdom. I do know that if you speak the word, whatever you say, that spiritual kingdom has to obey you. If you speak to a devil, it has to bow its knees. If you speak to cancer, cancer has to disappear. If you speak to arthritis, it has to go. If you speak to sickness and disease, it has to go. If you speak to the waters, then the winds and the oceans, they have to be still. If you speak to the dead, they'll get up. I don't understand it, but you're a man of authority, and I know the authority is in the spoken word of God. All you have to do is speak the word, and my servant will be made whole. All you have to do is speak. And he said, I never saw this greater faith, not in all of Israel. Great faith. Great faith. Great faith looks to nothing but the word of God. Great faith is not moved by circumstances. Great faith is not moved by what you see with the physical eye or what you feel. Bless God, if you've grabbed a hold of the word of God for healing for this physical body, I don't care if that tumor is still there in front of your eyes. I don't care if it's getting bigger. I don't care if it gets uglier. I don't care how you feel. You understand what I'm saying? If you've cursed that foul devil that's causing that tumor and commanding that devil to loose your body, commanding it to come out by the roots, bless the name of Almighty God, that tumor has to go. If you can only believe in the word of God and take nothing else as evidence that God's word is not being performed in your life. You understand what I'm saying? God has exalted his word above his own name. His word's forever settled in heaven. Great faith looks only to the word of God. Great faith says what God says. Great faith agrees with God. He says, by the stripes of Jesus you're healed. By the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. And it doesn't matter how I feel, be honest with you, because I know the feelings will come eventually. It doesn't matter what the thing looks like, because that's going to disappear eventually. You understand? What matters is what God said. Is what God said. All faith is built upon three things, three words. And God said. And God said. And God said. You understand what I'm talking about, brother? If God said it, then bless God. You can grab the thing and hold on to it, because it's going to come to pass. And recognize the devil's going to try to knock you out of your blessing. He's going to try to steal your miracle from you. He's going to try to steal the word. But believe what God says. I know that sister that was healed of terminal cancer in your Ann Flanagan. She's not here this morning, I don't think. But that sister, she's called on pretty good, brother. Healed of that terminal cancer. And my God, she'd been coming to church Two or three weeks after that, one day I said, "How do you feel, Ann?" She looked at me and she smiled. She said, "The devil tries, but I know where he's supposed to be, down here." I said, "Doggone. I mean, that's moving in leaps and bounds, brother." Woo, been saved about 2 months. He tries. Oh, sure he tries. He's going to lie. He's going to say all kinds of things. You still feel this? Feel that pain there? Feel this? You understand what I'm saying? Great faith just laughs at stuff like that. See, because great faith is in the Word. That's what Jesus said. He said, this is great faith. Great faith. It's in the Word. Not moved by nothing else. You understand? You're not moved by what individuals come to you and say. And they'll come to you and they'll try to make you sick. You ever have somebody do that? And someone said to me one day, not long ago, said, Brother Lou, said, you need to get away and take a rest. You got dark circles under your eyes. You don't look good. And Bill whispered in my ear, you are getting to feel a little bad, ain't you? You know, I almost bit on that. Lord have mercy. You ever have somebody come to you and tell you that? Look you right in the eye. They'll even say they discerned something. God showed them in the middle of the night that you were sick. And they've been praying for you. And you don't look good and everything else. Now, God can do that. You understand, but so can the devil. He can put a mess on you, brother. Hallelujah. Great faith simply understands if God says it. Hallelujah. Then that settles it. It doesn't make any difference what happens. You understand? Great faith simply looks to God. Now, we've talked about no faith, and I've said to you that no faith don't even try. No faith don't even try. A little faith will take you down the road a little ways, but it'll fail you. You understand? Before long, the devil will keep coming down the road, brothers and sisters. And if that faith isn't built and you don't increase that little faith and build that to a place where, or to a level where God can look at you and say, now that's great faith. You understand what I'm saying? If you go through this life with just a little faith, operating in just a little faith, bless God, I would say to you that before this thing's over, you might find yourself losing an awful lot of battles. Great faith, bless God, will take you through till the very end. You understand? Great faith will take you right through. It'll take you right through. It'll take you through this life. It'll take you out of here. It'll take you right in through the portals of glory. And great faith will cause you to stand before the Master with a smile on your face. You understand? Not having to be ashamed or nothing else. Because great faith is in the Word itself. It's built in the Word of the living God. Now, I'm just going to read a couple of verses of Scripture. And I'm not going to take this out of context. I'm going to explain something to you. And I believe it's important that if I read these two verses of Scripture, after Jesus got done talking about the great faith that this centurion exercised, this Gentile, in verse 11 he says, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, Jesus was simply, he was speaking of the Gentiles that were going to come in and be grafted in because, or through the rejection of the Jews. The Jews would reject him and so forth, and the Gentiles would be grafted in. But he happened to say this just as soon as he got finished talking to him about the great faith, the faith in the Word of the living God and nothing else. And this Gentile had exercised this great faith, this faith in the Word, apart from anything else. And then he said, many are going to come from the east and west. talking about the Gentile nations that are going to come in through this kind of faith that this centurion exercised in the Word of God. He said, now sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but the children of the kingdom, the rightful heirs, the heirs to all the prophecies and everything, he says, they will be cast out into outer darkness. And he was referring to the Jewish nation, as I'm saying. But I think it's important that we just take note of this, because he spoke of it, about this, as soon as he got done talking about the great faith. And all through this message today, we've been talking about the three dimensions of faith: no faith, a little faith, and great faith. And Jesus came to the place where there was great faith exercised, and he made this statement, which simply lets me believe. Now, this is what I received from this. And as I said, I'm not taking it out of context. I'm just talking to you about faith. Brother, if you're not exercising no faith in your walk through this life, whether you know it or not, you're subject to be plowed under before it's over. If you're operating in a little bit of faith, as I said, you can move God. You can get a few things done here and there. But a little faith don't take you too far. But if you want to make certain that you're going to go through this life and you're going to face every obstacle, every trial, every testing, everything that Satan can throw against you, if you want to be like those in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, if you want to be one of those that's going all the way through, let me tell you something. I personally believe that you're going to have to come to a place in Christ where you grab a hold of the Word of the living God. Hallelujah. And nothing else moves you. You're not going to be plowed under. You're not going to be knocked aside. You're not going to be overcome with the deceitfulness of riches. The lusts of other things are not going to get you. The cares of this world is not going to push you under. The afflictions and persecutions, all the methods that Satan uses when he comes against you. Let me tell you something. If you're operating what Jesus Christ calls great faith, let me tell you, that will take you through. Bless God, it'll take you through to the portals of glory. It'll cause you to reach out and grab the master's nail-scarred hand, and you'll not be ashamed. You'll have a smile on your face, and you'll bring great honor and glory to the God and Lord of heaven. Great faith. I don't want to preach nothing else to God's people except great faith. Come from that place where you don't exercise no faith. Start believing God. Don't be called one that has no faith. Move out, and sure, you're going to start exercising. It'll be a little faith once you move out. And that little faith will take you ways down the road. You may stumble, may go under. Jump up and throw your faith out there again. You understand? Throw it out there again. My God, and the next time you'll go down the road for a few more miles. And the next time you'll go a few more miles. And the next time you'll start kicking the devil over here. You'll start kicking this thing over here. You understand what I'm saying? And the next thing you know, brother, you'll be marching along. And know that the Father's looking down at you. And the Son's looking down at you and says, now there is great faith. And they're going to come from the east and the west. And they'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in my kingdom because of that great faith. Hallelujah, they've caught a hold and they're walking through. My God in heaven, I wouldn't be a preacher of righteousness if I left you with a little faith. Said, just a little faith, sister. That's all you need. That's all you need to move God. You'll respond to faith. But let me tell you something. If you want to go all the way through, reach for great faith. Woo! Lord, have mercy. How many of you believe that God is bringing his people, his church, to that place of great faith? Lord, have mercy. How many would like to operate in great faith? You bet your bottom dollar you would. And have the Lord say to you, even as he did that centurion, I've never saw such great faith.